Hello and welcome to the CEO Blind Spot Show, where leaders lead leaders. I'm your host, Birgit Camps, and today's guest is Guy Rubin, who is the CEO and co-founder of EPSTA, which is a revenue intelligence platform that helps businesses better understand how to close more deals faster. And they even integrate with platforms like Salesforce and HubSpot. Welcome to the show, Guy.
Lovely to be here. I'm a longtime fan of the podcast, so thank you for having me.
Well, and I'm so grateful that Eldad connected us because he did mention that he knew a couple really gifted leaders and people that, really like to contribute to others.
Yeah, well, whenever Eldad suggests I should speak with someone, I always take that advice very seriously. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the work he's done for us in the past as well.
Well, I'm so glad that someone with your background gets to share his leadership tips. You and I share a little bit of the same background. We both have accounting degrees and then moved on to different things. And we've both been in the recruiting industry. But I'm curious, is part of your great success because you were in the recruiting industry, you know how to recruit top talent and hire the best? Or what would you say some of the
Well,
reasons you've succeeded?
I was never actually a recruiter myself. My previous business was a software company servicing recruitment companies. So that's
Yeah.
kind of where we started. And if you've ever sold into businesses, you'll know that if you can sell to them, you can sell to anyone. So that's kind of where we started. We've moved on to running EBSTA now, which is a, as you say, a revenue intelligence platform. But and we now service all sorts of B2B businesses and really help them to scale their revenue engines by being a lot more data driven.
Yes. So then, Guy, talk us through how you started in business and developed yourself as a leader.
Well, thank you for asking. Probably the first lesson I learned is that you can't do everything yourself. And so the difference between being an individual consultant out there doing your own thing and actually running a business, I think, is all about finding the right business partner. And in my previous role, I happened to work with an individual that was responsible for building the product, and I was responsible for selling the product. And we were both very good at what we did. And so when the opportunity arose to kind of do our own thing, we decided to go into business together and really not look back ever since. So I suppose probably my first piece of advice is find a business partner that you know and that you can trust, but also one that has a very different skill set to yours. You ultimately in every organization, you need someone responsible for the commercial side of the business, able to bring in the opportunities and close business, but you also need some sort of delivery engine. And whether that delivery engine is a consultant delivering services or a product developer able to actually build product and then support those customers, those two skill sets are usually mutually exclusive. And figure out, be brutally honest with yourself about which of those you are, and then find a business partner that represents the skills that you don't have.
So you had the benefit of getting really clear about your partner's strengths over time because you worked with him. What about when you built your own team? How did you figure out who to hire and if they were good or not? I've heard that you're called a data geek and you look for data, but how do you apply that to hiring people?
Well, I probably made all the mistakes under the sun when it comes to hiring, but I suppose there are some certain lines in the sand. I think if you're hiring on the technical side of the business, you can put in place technical tests and make sure that people can actually physically do the job.
Yeah.
I think that on the commercial side, it's a slightly softer skill, and it can be very difficult to actually work out if anybody's actually good at what they do on that side. I'm a sucker for a sales resource that actually comes direct and tries to close me on getting an interview in the first place. So I never quite understood sales recruitment because, of course, if somebody's a really good salesperson and they want to for your business, you'd think that the first thing they'd be able to do is sell themselves. So I've been quite emotional in the way I've recruited, and I've had to bring other people into that process to make sure that we don't make the wrong hires, and we try and assess people's fit. And I think fit's a big component, especially in a small organization. If you're only 9 or 10 people and you hire one more, that one person can represent 10% of your business. So
Yes.
making sure they're the right hire is so important. And ultimately making sure that they're a fit with the organization and the culture that you're trying to produce. I recall a friend of mine who was running a business that they hired the wrong person. They were technically able to do the job, but they weren't willing to kind of get involved and go the extra mile. And it was only a startup at the time. And they were kind of going off and having their lunch in the car outside rather than kind of alongside everybody else in the team. And before you know it, the unity of the team ended up disappearing. So I'm not sure I've got all the secrets as to how to hire the right people, but I am trying to learn as we go. And as you say, I'm a huge fan of data. So trying to define your criteria, you know, recognize that people don't work with recruiters because they're lovely people. They work with recruiters because they add massive value to the recruitment process. And the fact that they, you know, they charge you a lot of money for what they do. So finding a recruiter that can actually help you through that exercise and does a lot more than just send you resumes and actually helps you to craft the process, define the success criteria, work out what that hiring exercise actually needs to look like is only a good thing. And if you find the right recruiter that can help you with that journey, then actually where you actually find the individual candidate from almost doesn't matter. You need that professional to join you and on that journey and help you, because you hire the wrong person, the impact on the business is material.
Yes. So it sounds like that was your blind spot as a leader early on. Was there a moment where you said, hey, I need to do something different about the way I'm hiring?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly had some hires that weren't the right fit. And, you know, unfortunately, you kind of had to turn those decisions around quite quickly once that became apparent.
Yeah. But
I'm sure there's a whole host of other challenges we've had to deal with over the years. And with all of these things, as you mentioned before, I'm a huge fan of data and trying to understand the signals that have led to success in the past. And that's kind of how we built Ebster. You know, the business itself is, we have a unique approach to analyzing the signals from the past for our customers to understand what good looks like. So how much engagement you needed with different personas to achieve a certain outcome means that you're able to understand what good looks like. And then when you're looking at deals that are in flight, you can see signals that are telling you that there might be a risk factor here because perhaps you're not as multi-threaded as you normally are, or you haven't got as much engagement with the VP of operations as you normally do. So understanding the signals in every part of the business, in particular in the sales team, is absolutely key to success.
Yeah. So clearly, at some point, you decided that data was important. What was that point that you decided that?
Well, I mean, we've always been data geeks. Our first product for the market is what we call relationship intelligence. And when we look at how companies use CRM, in the best case scenario, your CRM should be your system of record. It should be the home of all of the activity and relationships the business holds in one place. But more often than not, we find that less than 30% of the company's relationships actually reside in the CRMs. So before we moved on to what we now call revenue intelligence, our first product is what we call relationship intelligence. And all it does is it uses the activity that we find in people's mailboxes, which, you know, ultimately your inbox is your original social network.
Yeah.
So knowing who you've engaged with via email and who you've had meetings with in your calendar can actually help us we can unlock those relationships and sync them up to the CRM. So our first product was really just about taking away that burden of logging activity manually by the reps themselves and giving the leadership team certainty that 100% of the activity and the contacts are being captured inside Salesforce. It was only once that had been achieved and we were servicing companies with that, solving that particular problem, that it became apparent that the opportunities that were being worked on that had the most activity, that had the most contacts engaged with, were the ones that were most likely to close. And that took us on this journey of building out what we now call revenue intelligence, where we're analyzing, you know, all of the signals around the revenue engine and helping to understand what good looks like so that you're able to do much more comprehensive kind of pipeline reviews and ultimately forecast more accurately, because your historical data will tell you what good looks like. And it's a great way of benchmarking the deals that are in flight to see where the risks are.
Well, I wish I would have known you when I had my staffing company, because exactly what you said, I knew we had very little that was going into our database, because salespeople typically keep a lot in their heads or in little yellow sticky notes. So that would have been very helpful to, as you said, identify early on where the opportunities and the risks were. So it sounds, though, that you're helping other companies also put data to the soft skill, not just of which deals to close, but which people might be doing a good job and which ones aren't.
Absolutely. I mean, did a huge piece of analysis in conjunction with Pavilion last year, where we analyzed 3.2 million opportunities across $37 billion worth of pipeline. And what became apparent is that 4 out of 5 salespeople are missing quota. And the numbers have never been that wide before.
Wow.
And the delta between the top performers and the rest of the sales team is huge. We see just 23% of the sales team are now generating 83% of the revenue. So there's huge discrepancies in the way teams are operating. And so to address those challenges, you have to start by fixing the data, which is boring, but it can be done. And, it, you know, we've got to stop relying on reps manually doing anything on that front. Then it's about building out the insights. So know what good looks like. Do the benchmarking. Understand how multi-threaded you need to be, or if someone uses a free trial, what buttons they're pushing leads to a positive outcome. Or really understand, you know, not all leads you generate are equal. So what leads are giving you the best results? So making sure your team jump on those leads before others and so on. So understanding those signals means that you're able to start to build out the insights that lead to revenue. And then it's about consistency. So implementing consistency within your revenue engine, within the sales, the marketing, and the success teams, means that you're able to make small changes and see big impact. So when you've got sales teams running in different ways and across an organization, it's very, very difficult to implement best practices and to run experiments to see what the outcomes will be. So consistency, good workflow, good processes is absolutely key, but you can only do that once you've got the insights, and you can only get the insights once you've got the data.
Yes. And if people want to know more about your company, they can go to EBSTA.com. And you also are providing that sales benchmark report for free. And I was very curious about the gap I saw in the level of engagement in your recent report.
It's amazing that in 2023, even now, relationships still drive revenue in B2B sales. And so knowing that, we came up with this engagement score, which is a number out of 100, where we digest all of the call activity, the meeting activity, the email traffic, and we try and give every relationship a score out of 100. And what's insane to find is that kind of blew us away when we looked at the data, is the impact of high engagement on win rates can sometimes increase your win rate by 4 or 5 times. So if you're running complex B2B sales processes, you know, lean into those relationships, you know, invest in the time in building those strong relationships and getting that engagement as high as you can with the right stakeholders, because boy, does it deliver results.
Yes. And you have the data to prove it. So you might actually help people prevent a crisis by paying attention to that report that you provide. So on that note, Guy, have you been through crisis? And if so, how have you overcome it? And what tips do you have for others?
Well, I think first of all, it's about context. You know, we all have bad days, but if you can remember that you've still got your arms and legs are still working, you've still got a roof over your head, you know, please God, the family are still healthy. You start to realize, you know, actually, there's always going to be crisis. There's always going to be challenges, but actually, we're still blessed. And actually, we need to remember that we are still blessed. And reminds me of a little story I read in a book I'm rereading at the moment, where they talk about whether things are good news or bad news. Now, when things are happening that you can't control and are causing you pain, sometimes it's worth recognizing that you don't necessarily know whether it's good news or bad news, because you're right in the thick of it. And it reminds me of this story of a Chinese farmer with a horse, and unfortunately the horse runs away. And of course, the villagers come in and ask him, you know, that's terrible news. You've lost your horse. How are you going to farm and you know, dig up your crops and so on? And his response is, well, I just don't know if it's good news or bad news yet. And you know, 3 or 4 days later, the horse comes back with 4 or 5 other horses, and they're wild horses, but they kind of bring them all in, and suddenly the villagers come back to the farmer and say, look, great news, you've got all these great horses now. It's, you know, what great fortune you've had. And he said, well, the truth is, I don't know if it's good news or bad news. And the next day, his son goes out to break in the new horses, and one of them throws him off and he breaks his leg. And of course, the villagers come in and explain how, isn't that bad news that you know, your son's broken his leg? How terrible. And again, his response is, well, I just don't know if it's good news or bad news yet. And of course, the next day, the Chinese army come in to pick up all the able-bodied men to go to war. And of course, his son can't fight. So, you know, when we're right in the thick of things and we're experiencing crisis, I think the best advice I can give is let it wash over you and acknowledge the fact that we don't know everything. And however bad it might be, in 3 or 6 months' time, it might be the best thing that ever happened to you. And don't conclude that it's bad news automatically, because you just don't know what's coming next.
Well, Guy, that's another thing that we seem to have in common. I read about that story too, but I forgot the name of the book. Do you remember it?
I do remember it. Unfortunately, it's not a business book, I'm afraid.
Right.
But it's called The Peaceful Warrior, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Okay.
And it's all about trying to be present. And something I struggle a lot with, because I'm either worried about what's about to happen or what happened in the past. But really, there's not much we can do about what's happened before, and the future hasn't happened yet. So the more we can stay present, the happier we are as individuals.
Well, what a gift to share with others. I really appreciate you being present to this show and sharing your leadership tips and contributing to others the way you do. Thank you.
You're most welcome. And as you mentioned, if anyone wants to download that report, it's completely free, and you can get it. There's a banner on the top of the website, EBSTA.com.